Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Time now for Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Mike.
Welcome in. This is Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt. And I think I have that in the order that I'm looking at you, so I always should introduce you first, correct? Particularly.
Exactly.
That's what they teach you in school.
Absolutely.
Right?
Be polite.
Yeah.
Be polite.
Speaking of on this beautiful day, rainless day, how about that? But first of all, you've got to tell your story.
People get tired of hearing my poor travel stories, but I am...
Wait, there's another one?
Yeah, such bad luck.
No.
And this one has to do with an automobile, not an airplane. I was really looking forward to the weekend. We were having a memorial service for my uncle on my mom's side, the last surviving sibling. He passed away last year during COVID, but they were having a memorial service in Batavia, and 11 out of the 12 surviving cousins were supposed to be there. And so I left immediately after the show on Friday, started north on 65, ran into one accident in Lebanon, home of Rick Mount, on the Rick Mount Highway, ran into another accident right before Lafayette, got north of Lafayette and came to a stop. After 5 hours and 15 minutes, I had driven 180 miles. And it was dead stop. And I should have known because the couple of exits prior to stopping, a bunch of semis were exiting the highway. And sat there dead still for an hour and 15 minutes. Now I'd already missed all of the Friday night occasions. And so I turned around, came home. Got home at 7:30. missed the whole weekend. So
Sherry has now said, I'm not traveling with you anymore,
no,
Dan.
Nobody's going to want to travel with
you. Well, I could understand that. Kareen, if he invites you, just politely say no.
So should I blame him for all the traffic I had coming back from Pittsburgh on Friday?
Did you get luck?
Hey, you're absolutely right, Kareen. People, I guess they're just finally glad to be able to go someplace. But the traffic is crazy.
Yeah.
Now, I know it was a Friday afternoon, and some people are driving like maniacs. I mean, they're zipping into the right-hand lane and back over to the left-hand lane to get ahead of one car. So you can understand why all the accidents are happening. But it was just like the airport 2 weekends ago. There wasn't an empty seat in any airplane that was going in the air that weekend. So,
and the airport was packed.
Yeah, people are just glad to finally be out and be able to do something.
Well, before we get into some serious stuff, the sports talk, did you guys see where the lobster, the guy that was trying to find lobsters up off Providence, I believe it was Providence, Rhode Island, he's down there trying to find lobsters, and a whale
He a whale puts him in his mouth.
Swallowed him.
Yeah. He swallowed him.
A whale ate the guy?
Yeah, Jonah. It was Jonah all over again.
I don't know if it was Jonah. I think the whale spits him back out, though, right?
At the end. After 3 days.
Yeah.
This guy's
It been 3 days yet?
This guy got spit out about 10 seconds into the ordeal or less, but he said it got real dark in there. And then he said, I was shaking from left to right because the whale was trying to figure out what the hell he had in his mouth, right? And then he spit him out. Isn't that wild?
Michael, I have a question for you. Do you have any idea what you were doing 52 years ago today?
No. Help me.
You are at Broadway Christian Church in Lexington, Kentucky.
Your wedding.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you and Sherry. I forgot. Yeah, I was there. Yeah, sure was.
Yeah, you were part of it.
Yeah, that's right. I was.
You were part of it. 52 years of marriage.
That's and you couldn't get your way back to Batavia this weekend after all those years.
That was when I think back, it was a special, special year. I've got more money in my pocket right now than I had that year put together. But we had a little one-bedroom apartment off of campus. It was so small you had to go out in the hallway to turn around, but it was tiny. We had a great year. We only lost two games all season, that was you look back at that. The biggest recollection I have of that year, our senior year, in that little one bedroom apartment, was watching the moon landing on a little 13-inch black and white.
That was the summer.
Black and white. We got married June 14th.
Yeah, it was so July. I remember that too.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
What I remember, besides the fact that you two did get married, is that we had a limo, right? And you know who provided the limo? Daniel Boone Fried Chicken is where you and I worked that summer. And Casey and I had the limo, and we were going to use it. Of course, we had a bachelor party, I think, at your apartment.
Yeah, yeah. Now, listen to this, Green. So we had the bachelor party. We already had that little one-bedroom apartment. We had the bachelor
at a pool
at the party. And two guys, and I don't want to mention any names, Pratt and Casey, threw lit cigar butts on my neighbor's balcony that night. And so for the next year, the guy didn't talk to us. I mean, never even acknowledged our
that.
Yeah, I remember it real well. They were done smoking their cigars and threw the butts over on the neighbor's balcony. So,
well, that was mild compared to trying to make it from your apartment over to where I was living. And
were you driving the limo?
That's the funny piece. You know, we had this hat because we were going to drive you to the reception after the wedding. So we had a little driver's cap, okay? So Casey and I decided on the way across town that every red light we would change drivers. And so you drove as long as you could avoid a red light, and then you put the car or the limo in park, and then you change. One got in the back, and the other one took off driving. They would arrest you in this day and age.
That was a great year. Hard to believe it was 52 years ago.
Well, I've got to. Yeah, it is hard, isn't it? Golly, how about the portal?
Oh, Czar, do you have new new information?
Over 1,600 people entered the portal.
Correct.
On Division I level, something close to that.
And that's just basketball, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 And I think the number is that there's like 500 and some still left in it.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what, Dan? Just what you said, we've talked about for weeks now.
Music has stopped.
Yes, sir. And there's not a lot of empty chairs.
500 and some kids still in it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So what are you going to do? You're going to go back hat in hand and beg your coach to take you
back?
Well,
I would think at this point most of those spots have been filled. I mean, there might be a few that you could go back to your own school, but I would imagine a lot of those spots are now full of somebody else.
True. But, you know, they have a scholarship limit of 13 players.
1,300. Yeah. I guess Kentucky could have gotten every guy they wanted.
My mind went blank momentarily. I thought I was in the whale's mouth. Yeah, 13 cap. I don't think a large portion of the coaches and schools use all 13 at one time.
Well, and if you had one available, let's just say you had one scholarship available that you wanted to use. Are you going to use it on one of the 500 guys that are still in the portal? Because I'm guessing they ain't real talented or they still wouldn't be in the portal.
That's a good point. The only thing they've got going for them, if they can go back where they came from.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you
mean.
Okay.
If he leaves Georgia College, can he go back to Georgia College?
Yeah.
Now, we've talked about that before, and we've talked about that with some of our guests. I guess it's different coach to coach, depending on how he feels about it.
Take him back.
I wouldn't take him.
Well, I'm guessing if he can play, he'd take him back. But if he was glad to see him go, there's no way he's taking him
back. But if he could play, somebody else would have scarfed him
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Somebody else would have scarfed him up. Yep. So that's an interesting aside. I've never seen any numbers published. And maybe Crean has. Crean, on football, there's a portal for football.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think there's a portal for every sport, isn't there?
Or one large portal with different doors into different rooms, right? Imagine the portal, one big room, different doors. Okay, men's tennis this way, women's tennis that way. Basketball here, football there.
All right, so there I think it peaked at 2,100 college football players, but you also have to remember that there are way more college football players than there are college basketball players.
Absolutely.
So that's still a much smaller percentage.
Yeah, but that's still a lot.
Yes.
So does it have any information on a portal for other sports?
I will tell you in a second.
Okay. All right. Well, Kentucky got a linebacker out of the portal.
Yeah.
Good-looking kid from Mississippi.
Kid that can play. That's really going to help them on the defensive side of the ball. And I'm excited for the Kentucky season. It looks to me like they've kind of got it all headed in the right direction right now.
If they could just figure out the quarterback situation.
Yeah. Well, they need, you know, I mean, football has become so dependent on that position that you've got to have somebody that can play there and somebody who's two-dimensional, somebody who can throw the ball and run the ball. And, of course, last year they had a great runner. I don't know how he picked up all the yards he did when people, defenses knew he couldn't throw the ball 10 feet down the field. So.
Well, they've had a couple of them back-to-back that are that way.
Yeah.
When you take your best receiver and make him a quarterback and just run him all the time, you know you've struggled to recruit a quarterback.
Yeah,
I don't think that's going to happen now.
No, not with the recruiting coordinator they have. Vince seems like he is really concentrating on getting those talented the talent positions filled, and of course. He's decided to stay at Kentucky.
Every NCAA sport does have a transfer portal.
They have their individual portal?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What kind of numbers come out of those?
I haven't been able to find those. Just most of the things, like, I'll Google, like, NCAA baseball portal, and I'm only finding lists of, like, the top transfers type of thing. I don't know if anyone's just widely reported how many players are in each portal, they do for basketball and football, because those are the bigger, you know, brand ones.
So they hire somebody to monitor that portal. Now, that's a new job for the NCAA.
Yep.
And that, you know, that's another one of the things that they do to keep things going in the right direction. But we're talking football, Dan. And University of Louisville had a few issues with their football.
Yeah, that's what I just said, and it went right over your head. I said Vince Morrow has decided to stay at Kentucky.
Well, why would you?
God,
why would you
God,
not? Why would
God
you not?
Love.
Why would you not go to Georgia. You know he's making more money.
There were some connections there.
He's a Georgia kid or Georgia guy.
But I love Louisville. I hope they win every game except when they play Kentucky. But, man, do they take turns shooting themselves in the foot. Ooh. I mean, it's just the biggest recruiting weekend of the year. And on Friday, their recruiting coordinator goes to Georgia. I mean, you can't make that. You were telling me that on some poster or some video, they misspelled a word.
They misspelled the word official.
And that was on the invitation.
Yes, that was on like the big. Like you got it when you signed in, just a big thing that said like official on it, like welcome to official visit weekend.
So when the young potential player signs in with his family, friends, and girlfriends, whatever, usually more than one, just the player, more than that, they all get one of these.
They get like a packet book that has like schedules and things to do and stuff like that, and on the cover of the packet book, it just says official and it's misspelled.
Well, you wonder, does somebody lose their job over that? Does a printing company lose their printing gig?
Oh, maybe that's why the guy left for Georgia.
Recruiting to Georgia, recruiting to South Carolina is different than recruiting to Louisville or even Kentucky. Georgia, you know, they're not going to be able to beat Georgia on like one of the top 10 players in the country, which Georgia can get typically.
Yep.
They're going to win some battles, but I mean, those jobs, it's like, those schools get who they want typically. Some will slip through the cracks. Kentucky's been great in South Carolina and Georgia finding guys that need to be polished, and they turn out to be terrific players. And that's what you kind of got to do. And we had Vince Morrow on. We were talking about that, working up in Ohio. And it's recruiting's a vicious job.
I mean, it's so important. First of all, in most athletic programs, there's a few that are different, but in most, the football program produces the revenue to support almost every other NCAA team that you have. And so, you know, again, it's all about the money. And the salaries for these assistant coaches have continued to go up, as well as the head coaches. And now you have all, like you were saying, Mike, you have all these new positions. Now you need to have a guy who keeps his eye on the portal. You need a guy who watches the social media for the program. And successful programs, because they make a lot of money, are willing to spend to stay at the top of the heap. And if you can't spend that money or don't have it, then, you know, you're going to fall by the wayside pretty quickly.
And, Crean, we've got some clips from a guest with Diener this morning from the Georgia Big Dog newspaper or whatever their fanboy newspaper.
Battling Bulldogs.
Yes, it is from the guy that actually broke the news, Jake Rowe of 247 Sports.
Oh, 247
yes.
Sports. Okay, I thought he was affiliated with Georgia.
No, so he covers Georgia, but okay. He's not affiliated with Georgia. So basically, he talked about kind of like the process and what the guy is actually doing, and that's the clip that I found interesting, if we want to play that.
Yeah, let's play it.
There are a lot of different pathways of communication that come out of a program now. You know, social media and, you know, all the different types of social media, phone calls, text messaging, all that stuff. And so you're trying to find someone to coordinate those efforts, as well as coordinate the efforts of you know, staying in contact with mom and staying in contact with dad and grandparents, the decision makers. I mean, the number one thing in sales is identify the decision making unit and prioritize it. And so that's kind of what people do in recruiting. And, you know, sometimes that's the kids, sometimes it's moms, sometimes you got to sell them sell the girlfriend. Who knows? But you know, there's a lot of different ways to keep in touch with a recruit to make a recruit feel wanted, and that's where guys like David Cooper come in. Is you know, he's very tied in from the Georgia standpoint, very tied in the state of Georgia. And he's from Georgia. He coached high school ball in Georgia. His brother was a big time recruit in the state of Georgia. I mean, he even played at Indiana. I mean, he's a really good player. So there was all of that. Plus, you know, you've just got to have that guy who can kind of relate to these guys, and he's young, just like Nick Williams was, who left Georgia. And I think that's a big reason Georgia targeted him and went after him, those two reasons.
Well, the guy that went to Texas A&M, I mean, they just burned money over there. Yeah. I mean, more money than Georgia, I think.
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, the timing of it, which was kind of, you know, why this became somewhat of a story here, because normally a recruiting coordinator, not an on-field coaching staff member, he can't even travel to go recruit players. You're like, yeah, whatever. But it was the fact that it was on the official recruiting weekend. It's the first one we've had in 16 months that kind of drew a little bit of a buzz. But it was just kind of the timing of Georgia had the guy go to Texas A&M, which opened the slot there, and it was unfortunate timing, but that's just kind of what happens. It's Louisville and it's Georgia. It's the same job. I mean, it's lateral what he's doing day to day.
Okay.
But I mean, yes, Georgia is way, way bigger than Louisville. That's the point I'm trying to make.
You sound like those people that say it was a lateral move to go from Louisville to South Carolina.
No. I think that's closer to a lateral move than Louisville to Georgia is, but I still wouldn't think it's a lateral move.
Oh, please.
I think Georgia's better than South Carolina.
Well, and I would argue this, that, you know,
you're going to argue for Crean?
No, I'm agreeing that I think South Carolina is a better job than Louisville, and Georgia's a better job than South Carolina.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is, even though, you know, the guy probably doesn't go on the field and coach, he can't travel, I would say being in charge of recruiting and the social media aspect of that and staying in touch with these kids, I would say outside of the head coach and maybe the offensive defensive coordinator, that's the most important position in a football program today.
Well, in any, even in basketball. I mean, you don't have as many people you're recruiting, but they do the same thing with the social media. And I know Kentucky's got a guy that works in that regard. And those are slots. We've talked before about this. Head coaches, not everybody, but the big Power 5, Power 6 schools, head coaches make a lot of money. Okay?
A lot of money.
And you can debate whether they're worth it or not, but they make a lot of money. The coordinators make a lot of money. After that, I think there's an opportunity, particularly in this area, to money whip a guy. I mean, if the guy's making $1.25, and I don't know what anybody was making in this situation, and all of a sudden, I use a reference, you know, you're doubling his money or more. You're taking him to $300,000 because, as you said, Dan, it's a very important position.
So
Georgia and Texas A&M can money whip Georgia in many ways, not always, but they mean that Texas money they share in the oil money and all that stuff.
All the booster money.
And so if you money whip a guy, what the heck? And a guy gets to go home.
Exactly.
That's his home state.
Yeah, no, I'm not blaming. I'm not blaming the guy for taking the job, but you know, it's just the timing stinks.
Is it fair to assume, though? Answer, both of you can answer. Is it fair to assume the next recruiting weekend he's involved with, the spelling will be correct?
I would argue it would be. I think it would be, you know, it was kind of poked at and made fun of here, but if you do that in Georgia, that's a...
You got to walk
really
the plank.
Deal, yep.
You got to walk the plank there. I mean, you know, you're cooked, man. You can stick a fork in them. So, hey, it's just about time that college football has media days, media week, which will be interesting because nothing really is given up at those things. But the scribes that follow college football or college, they'll write their opinion of things. And I don't think you're going to open any Pandora's box to what's going on, but it creates interest.
Yep.
It just creates interest for the next month and a half until you kick it off.
Yeah. And especially, you know, now we get into an area where it's kind of dead sporting-wise. I mean, I enjoy baseball and the NBA playoffs are winding down. But from now until the end of August, 1st of September, when you have college football come back on, there's going to be a lot of interest in that, especially when a lot of programs didn't have their spring game this year.
Yeah, great point.
So now, you know, people are really dying for information about the programs that they follow, and so there'll be a lot of interest in all of these programs.
And to your point before we get to the break, baseball. Your Cubbies and Crean's Cubbies.
He's got his Cubby shirt.
He does. They're rolling right now. They're rolling. And the Rockies, they're struggling. What was the Colorado Rockies record on the road?
5-27.
5-27. Now you don't think there's a difference playing in Coors Field? Now Coors
it's a hitter's field. It's a hitter's field, right?
Oh yeah, but it's not. They move the fences back far enough so that it's not really a home run park. But the outfield, because of the altitude and the dimensions of Coors Field, the outfield is 10% bigger than any other outfield in Major League Baseball.
So you got to have some speed in that outfield.
Yeah, to run them down. And you don't think there's a difference playing there? The Rockies are 20-14 playing in Coors Field. 20-14. They're, as Crean just said, 5-27 on the road.
So if you're the general manager, player personnel guy of the Rockies,
you lobby to play all your games at home.
There you go. That works. You double up the money, the guarantee, don't you? How do you recruit a pitcher?
You don't.
I mean, you sign them in your system, but you don't free agent a pitcher, do you?
There was, and now I'm gagging for the names, but about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, Crean helped me here, that the Rockies spent a lot of money on two pitchers. Was Hampton one of them?
There was a Hampton, very good pitcher, yeah.
Yeah, and they just got torched. I mean, they got lit up. And since that,
Mike Hampton?
Yeah, and then there was another one. Did he sign a free agent deal with the Rockies?
Yes.
Yeah, and there was another one about the same time. Big money, huge money, and they couldn't get anybody else out. And so since then, free agent pitchers just cross Colorado off the list.
Yeah, I mean, and so you have to develop them, and then when you do a good job of polishing them and developing them, that when they have a chance to become a free agent, adios, right?
Yeah.
So it's almost
for
like
sure.
If you, unless you find and develop a pitcher or two pitchers that right off the bat, when they hit the majors on the first part of their contract, you got to make a run at the World Series or Division Championship, whatever it is, because, man, it's hard to keep those pitchers.
Was it David Need?
Maybe. That doesn't sound right. Anyway, but, you know, they started putting the baseballs in a humidor. It's so dry in Colorado, just like Arizona, that supposedly you couldn't get the ball to break on your off-speed pitches. It wouldn't break as much as it did at sea level.
I never heard that story.
Yeah,
wow.
No, the fastballs were fine. Fastballs flew in there. But you started throwing curveballs and sliders, and it was like duck. And so they started putting the baseballs in the humidor before they brought him out to play, and that helped a little bit.
Daryl Kyle.
That's it.
Kyle.
Daryl
okay.
Kyle.
3 years, $24 million in 1997.
Yeah, that's
and in
it.
Two seasons with the Rockies, he had a 5.84 ERA. At Coors Field, he had an ERA of 6.76. After he was traded to St. Louis, of course, in 2000, he won 20 games and had a 3.91 ERA.
So that's why they can't get a free agent pitcher to come to Colorado.
Well, you had Tulowitzki, the shortstop, who was a really good young shortstop, and he boogied.
Yeah, and now Arenado, were you watching the Cub game yesterday? Arenado made two plays that were
He's with St. Louis now.
Yeah. They not only did they trade him to St. Louis for nothing, but they're on the hook for part of his salary.
Now, that's a deal.
He made two plays yesterday against against the Cubs, unbelievable. I mean, he's going across the line, throwing the ball 150 feet to first base, and, you know, they weren't real fast runners, but, I mean, the plays he made and can make, he's won, I think, 8 Gold Gloves as a third baseman already, and he's just, you know, halfway into his career.
So if you're the Rockies and you're a Rocky fan, you're promoting Tulowitzki and Arenado.
Still have Trevor Story.
But these two guys were the face of the team.
Right. But Trevor Story, there's like 5 all-star, and I know that's impossible, but there's like 5 all-star shortstops this year that are going to be free agents. Javi Baez is one.
Trey Turner.
Yeah. And
Trevor Story.
And Story. And so they'll lose him at the end of this year. Now, they've had some great players. Larry Walker was a terrific player. Dante Bichette, whose son now plays for Toronto, was a great player for the Rockies. Andres Galarraga.
Todd Helton. Yeah, he played at Tennessee. Yeah.
He played his entire career.
He was good.
With the Rockies. Good, yeah. He was very good. But they haven't had anybody that can pitch.
And won't. Given what we just talked about,
you're a free agent pitcher, okay? And I'm the general manager for San Diego, and Crean's the general manager for the Rockies. You think I'm not going to quote those stats he just gave on Daryl Kyle?
It's just like recruiting in college sports. They're always going to bring up the negative. Yeah, Somewhere along the line, there's a negative with everybody, and they're bringing it up.
No question, Michael.
Well, let's take a break, Dan, and we'll come back. This is Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, ESPN Louisville 680 1057. We will return.
Country music singers have always been a real close family. Lately, some of my kin folks have disowned a few others than me. I guess it's because I kind of changed my direction. Lord, I guess I went and broke their family tradition.
You're locked on Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Little Hank Williams Jr.
And why?
He broke the family tradition. Welcome back, Sports Talk. Mike Pratt and Dan Issel, presented by Stockton Mortgage. Like so many of my friends, you may be searching for your dream home, but be sure to get the best mortgage for that home. The folks at Stockton Mortgage are the best at helping people find a complete financing option that works for them. So don't wait. Get started with our favorite home loan folks at Stockton.com. That's Stockton.com, NMLS number 8259, Equal Housing Lender.
Nice job. You got that right there. Smooth.
Thank you.
You got I mess up on the NMLS.
You know what? Let me tell you. Let me give you a little hint.
Okay. Put it on me.
And this came from Salzman, because Salzman heard us read it the first time and said, you guys stink. You got to clean that up a little
Johnny
bit.
Johnny Racetrack.
And instead of NM, he said pronounce it M-N-M, like E-M-I-N. And if you say it, NM, it comes out NM, NMLS, 8259.
Oh, listen, let's send Johnny Racetrack to Hollywood. He could coach, actors.
Stay tuned for 11:30 when we hear Mike Pratt say NMLS.
Get it on tape. Get it on tape.
Man.
We're talking baseball, and it's hard to talk baseball outside of your Cubbies now. My Reds are struggling. Mm-hmm. The bullpen is relentless in giving games away.
Didn't they just sweep Colorado, though? I mean, I know Colorado.
Yeah, well, 5-27, yeah. Colorado. Way to go, Reds.
I'm with you, but I'm trying to be nice.
5-27.
Well, wait. Pardon me before you tell your story.
Yeah.
I'm taking grief from a guy who went to Pittsburgh to watch the Pirates play.
Yes, come on, and, man. And they played the Dodgers, so I got to see one good team.
Now, I think that's so cool. You went with your dad?
Yeah.
Now, see, those are the kinds of memories like I have with Mike throwing a lit cigar butt on my neighbor's balcony. Those are memories that you just, you'll remember that for the rest of your life. I think that's very cool that you and your dad went to Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, we had an absolute blast.
And it's a beautiful park. I mean, you sit there and you look at Clemente Bridge. Is that the Allegheny or the Monongahela?
Allegheny, I believe.
Because you know the three rivers.
Yes. Amen.
I don't think I'd ever seen so many bridges in one place as there were in Pittsburgh.
Is Three River Stadium, did they knock it down? Or
well,
is
it's funny that you say that because when we originally on Wednesday when we're driving up, I look at the at the Google Maps that my dad had on there, and he had Three Rivers Stadium. I was like, Dad, that's not where they play anymore. He goes, what do you mean?
Three Rivers Stadium was during that period when all of the stadiums looked like a big concrete donut.
Yeah, and they were all the multi-purpose stadiums.
Yeah, yeah. They had one in Cincinnati and a bunch of them around the
country. Yeah, but they knocked it down. So my dad had us originally Google mapped to go to the plaque of where Three Rivers Stadium used to be instead of
but
the
it's
new
so
ballpark.
Cool. It's so cool, and I've never been there. I've only, seen it on TV. But to see the Clemente Bridge and the downtown area off out on the other side of Wright Field, it's cool. I think that's a neat memory.
It really is. Yeah. I've always wanted to go to that ballpark.
That'll be fun. What I was going to say is the Cubs bullpen, and that's the biggest hole. I mean, because the Reds can hit. There's no doubt about that.
Two guys in the top, three or four batting average?
Yeah. But their bullpen is terrible. Oh. And the Cubs, that's why they've been able to make their run. You get to the sixth inning, if the Cubs are ahead, the game's over. Because those guys are
31-0 now when leading after six innings.
See, I didn't even know that stat. I just went from observation.
31-0?
Yep.
I'm telling you, Mike.
That's a pretty good
bullpen. They got like six guys that come in, and you can't touch them. Yeah, I mean, they're unhittable.
Well, a few years ago, six guys in a bullpen was too much. They used to have just like three. The bullpens were smaller then.
Right.
And they wanted more hitters. They wanted more utility players. But six guys, they bring it, they're rotated in. Wow.
Yeah. No, they're really, their bullpen's terrific.
Well, a texter said what we were talking about, NMLS.
Yes.
Would Mike come out enema?
No, we don't want it to come out enema.
And then he sent us a picture of Pete, and he says, I heard Maravich talk to Mike Pratt into going out in Atlanta after a game. Yeah, he did. That was one of the longest nights.
That was when we played him our rookie year. Was it our rookie
second
year?
Second year.
Second year?
Yeah, the start of our third year.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah, so we played back to back, didn't we? Play back to back. We played them in
Frankfurt.
Frankfurt, yeah. Played the Hawks and Pete in Frankfurt, and then went to. We'd play exhibition games anyway,
and a bunch of them.
17. One year we played seven. Where was the Players Association? We played 17 exhibition.
And wasn't the Players Association? Did you all say that you weren't allowed to strike?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I guess that's where the Players Association was.
Yeah, the Players Association. But we played. I don't remember if that was the year. But one year we played 17 exhibition seasons.
Well, games. One year we played Washington. Then one year we played the Knicks and the Bucks. You remember that? We had the Pacers and us played them on a weekend and rotated. So we each got a chance to play the Bucks. And I guess that was both leagues' way to throw a bone to each other as a possible merger.
Right, right.
And we did we play somebody else? There was somebody else we played too.
I
played the Hawks twice. I don't know. It's all blurry.
Golden State, right? Because didn't they do the ABA champ against the NBA champ?
No, we never played. That never got done. No. But and we did, we being the ABA, did very well in those ABA-NBA exhibition games because it didn't mean squat to the NBA teams. And it meant a great deal to us. So we... I think we won all but maybe one of those preseason games.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
I think you're right. I remember getting on that charter, and there was Pete, and there was Don May from Dayton, who I knew played with the Hawks. Played with the Hawks at that time, and they had this beer on the floor. And they said, well, sit over here. We'll give you a beer. I said, okay, you may have joined us. It might have been Louis. I don't know. But we sat there and had a couple beers. And so we're getting ready to leave, and Pete says, what are you doing tonight? I mean, you know, hell, it's 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock when the plane lands. I go, well, Pete, I don't know. I'll probably go to bed. I'm not going to play tomorrow. Joe Mullaney had come and said, look, I'm going to play you in Frankfurt, then play Walt Simon in Atlanta. And, okay, whatever you say, Joe. So I knew I wasn't going to play. And he says, oh, let's go out. I'll take you out. We'll have a couple more beers. I said, Pete, you're going to have to come pick me up. All that time, I'm looking around Pete, and there's May shaking his head. Don't. Don't. So I said, what the heck? I'm not going to play. So Pete picks me up. We stayed at that Marriott downtown. And he and I laughed about this later on in life when our paths would cross. And he picks me up. He's driving a Porsche or something. I can't remember. One of those hot, you know, really hot cars at that point in time. Who knows what it was? Might have been a Firebird. Okay. I don't remember. So we hit two or three clubs. Okay. And it's like 4 a.m. when he brings me back to the hotel. So I go to bed.
And he had no such promise that he wasn't playing the next day.
Exactly. And we didn't have shoot around because we had played that night.
Yeah.
So get to the ball game. And he's up singing on the stage and dancing. And he was wild.
He was a wild hare.
Yeah, he was. And so at the ball game, we played at Georgia Tech. That's when they were playing their games at Georgia Tech. And they had a practice place on the side that was not – It was adjacent to the basketball place. So I'm up there just kind of fooling around because I know I'm not playing, okay? I'm just kind of fooling around. And in comes May, and May just starts laughing. He just starts laughing. And he goes, how do you feel today? I said, I don't feel very good. He said, well, are you going to play? I go, no, I'm not going to play. He's not going to play me. So Pete comes in a little later and says hello and goes back. Game starts, and all of a sudden he's sick, takes himself out. He doesn't play. Oh, Lordy.
I've told this
story.
So
he made a great contribution to the team, Mike. Yeah. He beat Maravich sick.
Kept May and Maravich off the floor. I've told this story before, but I got to know Pete pretty well in college. We were in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That just hit me. We were in Albuquerque.
Home sweet home, right?
Albuquerque, New Mexico for the Olympic trials that year, and Case was there, and we didn't play. Mike and I didn't play on the same team. We were on other teams. That we went out one night, and it was Pete and Rick Mount and Case and I, and about 11:30, we're looking for something to eat, and Albuquerque is shut down, closed, and so we're looking around. We find a bowling alley that's still open, and we go into the bowling alley. It's packed, people bowling and having a good time. And so we go up to the counter and have a bowling alley hot dog or hamburger or something, and we're done. We're getting ready to leave, and Pete says, watch this. And so he walks. It was about 20 lanes maybe. He walks down the side, about halfway down, turns, and as people are bowling, bowling balls are coming down the lane, he runs across all 20 lanes to the other side, turns, runs back past us and says, if you're going with me, you better hurry. and we all run out of the bowling alley. But no, Pete was, he was wilder than a hare when he was young. And then later on in life, became a Christian, found the Lord. In fact, there's a Christian organization called Focus on the Family in Colorado Springs. And Pete was playing, and now I'm... can't remember his name either, but Pete was playing a pickup basketball game with the head of Focus on the Family when he had his heart attack and passed away.
Ralph Ukula. I don't know if you remember that
name. Yeah, he was a guard, wasn't he, on that team?
And he was from
LSU.
Played with May and Hoskett on those great Dayton Belmont teams. And Ralph went to LSU. Okay, and so I see Ralph at the ball games. And he's funny. He says he tells some great Pete stories. And, of course, he was there. He was a year ahead of us, so he'd been a year ahead of Pete. And he had me howling a couple times about some stuff Pete did. Of course, he played for his dad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so he didn't live in the dorm. He lived at home. And for the most part, and he'd kind of come and go whenever he wanted to. But he said one thing, he said, Pete did a lot of crazy things and a lot of things that most of us couldn't do. He said,
get away with.
Right. So that's what I mean. Couldn't get away with. And he said, but one thing, man, he came and he practiced hard.
Yeah.
He practiced hard. And he said, you couldn't complain. Of course, he's the coach's son. And he was Pete Maravich.
Yeah. And he also averaged 44 points a game his senior year. Can you imagine that? He averaged his senior year 44 points a game.
Wasn't much sharing going. Although he tried to share.
No three-point shot either.
No three-point. The guy was a heck of a passer. But
he's the best passer and ball handler I've ever seen. Yeah, Magic Johnson, any of them. Pete could do things with a ball impossible.
But the pace of his game at LSU, of their game, was fast. And it was fast because his dad wanted Pete to take the shots.
Yeah.
So what's the old saying? He never saw a shot he didn't like. And Press never saw a shot he didn't like Pete to take.
And his and incredible range. That's an interesting question, Crean. It would be, and I don't know how you would ever do this, but it would be fun to go back and superimpose a three-point line and see how many more points a game he would have averaged with the three-point line, because his range, I mean, he crossed half court, he was looking to shoot it. So I mean, his range was just incredible.
I remember this vividly. We opened up down there our sophomore year, and you get the tip, we go down and score, and we're in the 1-3-1 because that's what Adolph wanted to play, remember, against Pete. And he comes across midcourt, and Steve Clevenger and I have talked about it. He was at the point there, and he just barely crossed half court, and he shot the ball. And we're going like, well, this is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, a guy takes that kind of shot, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, the place only sat 10,000. It was sold out, packed.
Packed.
They were crazy. Birds flying in the rafters. Remember that was the old –
it was a rodeo arena.
Yeah, the Ag Center.
Yeah.
It's funny what you remember. And the problem with finding out how much Pete would have averaged is back then, I mean, some schools didn't even track assists. And they certainly didn't track shots taken or made, you know, how they do now. They got makes and misses each half from certain places, any place on the floor. They didn't do that then.
No.
So it would be very hard. But I would guarantee you that he would have loved the three-point shot.
All right, so Pete Maravich played 93 career college games. If he would have hit three threes or averaged three threes in every college game that he took, that would be an extra 300 points, roughly.
And he's still the all-time leading scorer in college basketball.
Yes,
right?
And it is not close.
No, and that's 3 years, not 4 years. That's 3 years with no three-point line. Who's second, Crean?
Elvin Hayes.
Mm.
Is second.
Calvin Murphy in there?
Let's see. It's only
scored 10, a lot two. Of points.
I will tell you in a second.
Riveting radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, what? Yeah.
Yep.
What shocks me? How many games did he play? 92?
93.
We played. I played two less than you because I was hurt.
I played 83.
And I played 80.
One.
Because
I missed two.
Yeah, Maravich scored 3,667 points.
In 3 years.
Yep, and then actually Freeman Williams is second.
Williams?
Yep. Chris Clemens is third, and then Elvin Hayes is fourth.
Who's Chris Clemens?
He's very recent. He played for the Campbell Camels. Campbell University.
Really? The Fighting Camels.
Yep, from 2015 to 2019.
You know who coached out there at the Campbell, the Fighting Camel?
I have no idea.
Press Maravich. He coached there before. I believe he went to either Clemson or he was coached at Clemson, and then he also coached at NC State. And John Wooden always had a big basketball camp out there. John Wooden from UCLA came to Campbell College, the Fighting Camels, and he had a big basketball camp. One of the biggest ones back in the day, John Wooden had a camp there. Whether he owned it or he partnered with the school, I don't know.
Right.
But everybody always said John Wooden's camp.
Hmm. And then Lionel Simons of LaSalle's fourth. Alfonso Ford of Mississippi Valley State is fifth. Doug McDermott of Creighton recently, sixth. Mike Dom of South Dakota State, that's recent, also seventh. Henry Kelly, eighth.
But I'm guessing, yeah. I'm guessing those guys you're mentioning now from smaller schools, I'm guessing they stayed all 4 years.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Did Oscar Robinson, 11th.
Wow.
So
wow.
All the older players were in the 80s as far as games played, I'm sure.
Yes.
80s and 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like Maravich would have gotten an extra 30 games if he played all 4 years.
Right. Yeah. Oscar, how many points did Oscar have?
Oscar had 2,973.
How many games?
He would have played. No, he played 3 years.
3 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it says 3 years. It doesn't say how many games he played. Yeah.
See, statistics, the keeping of statistics back in those days, very marginal at best. Very marginal.
See, Mike's upset because they didn't keep assists, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on, man.
Because Pratt would have been the all-time assist leader at UK if they'd kept assists back then. Who is the all-time assist leader at
UK? I have no idea. It's got to be Travis Ford was up in there. It's got to be one of these young
Kyle Macy.
Mace may have been up there, but they didn't keep a whole lot of assists any better back then. It's not even about keeping. It's the event that leads to the basket that used to be.
All right, so number one is Dirk Minifield.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Anthony Epps is second. Roger Harden third. Wayne Turner fourth.
There you go. That's a
Where am I on that list, Kareem? Find out where I am on that list.
I might take a minute. The scoring list would be a lot easier. Yeah, but Minifield had 646 and Ebbs had 544.
And I had 300 and so.
Yes. Travis Ford was ninth. Kyle Macy was sixth. Tyler Ulis in just 2 years was tenth.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. Wow. He could deal the ball. And he knew who to pass the ball
to. Did they keep assists when we played?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Uke did. He kept them.
Oh, well, I didn't. So you're saying that they look past some of your assists.
What I'm saying is now when they drive and kick to the corner for a tray, you get an assist. I mean, these guys go for triple doubles with 30 points, 12 rebounds and 10 assists. Now, come on. If you're scoring those points and you're playing, and how can you get 10 assists if it's a pass that leads directly to a basket, close to the basket? I mean, you never got assists for jump shots back in the day.
How would you define an assist then? Because I would think, if you drive to the basket, kick it out to a guy for a wide open three, that's just commonplace to me that would be counted as an assist.
Absolutely, it's commonplace. He's just whining.
Yeah, so I'm asking, what do you define an assist?
He's just whining.
Yeah, well, I got to needle him about something. I mean, come on. He made all those baskets. Well, do you think that he brought the ball down, passed it to himself, and then shot it? Now, come on.
He thinks that.
No, he doesn't. We got a texter we'll address maybe after the break, Creed. All right.
This is Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.